Hello everyone, welcome to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for the mighty works that He's doing in these days. They are mighty works. This work you can't always see, but it's a mighty work. I know for a fact that the Lord has great things in store for His people who love Him, who seek Him. All those who seek Him, He will mightily use, and I thank God for that. That's what makes me tick. You know, I love the Lord. He's never failed me, and He's always been a blessing to me. And that's what I want to see. I want others to know what He can do in their lives. It's good. When I first started studying the Word as a very young man, I began to see how men fail God. I was about 19, going on 20 years old when I started studying on my own. And I would read a chapter every night, and I began to see how man continually went against the plan of God. And this broadcast the Lord has been giving me to share. I'm sharing something that's kind of new to me. Even though I went through what I did, some of these things I didn't really understand back then. And they're new to me. So they to say that anointed people can operate according to the world, that's kind of foreign. Most of the time when people are anointed, people expect them to be anointed and to love God and obey Him. But now the Holy Spirit has me sharing how even anointed people can betray the living purpose of God. The defining factor is how they love. Who do you love the most? When we love God the most, we serve God. Job once asked the question, "What does your eye wink at?" Or one of his friends asked Job that question. What do you, as if, you know, they were looking at Job's situation, that he was into some kind of sin. That's why they said, "What does your eye wink at?" I want to explain something about sin or the love of the world. When people are doing something wrong, they try to hide it. Anytime you're trying to hide something, it's obvious that there's something wrong. There's something you're doing you don't want people to know. And I made a decision, I'll never live like that. Whatever I do, I want it to be truthful and upfront. If I have to hide something, it's, you know, I don't have to do that. I don't have any secret plans, agendas. All I want to do is do exactly what God say. And I want to do it on time and in time. My main confession nowadays is that I will do all that's in His heart. All the wonderful things that I may not even have the ability to believe Him yet. But when I say that, as the Lord revealed a step to me, I'll go ahead and take that step. That's why I say that. I'm conditioning myself to take the next step every time He reveals something. To quickly take the next step in faith so that I can stay in the order of God. Sometimes there have been times the Lord showed me things so that I could fight back. He would reveal the enemy's hidden plan. Now the enemy would have been working on his plan, and the Lord would reveal it to me so that I could destroy it. Because we have authority on the earth. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is also loosed in heaven. So heaven's going to back me up. I can destroy Satan's plan at any time at my own will. And the Lord knows that I'm a fighter. And He knows that I have a lot of fight. So He'll just tell me what Satan's up to, and I'll destroy his plan and I live free. And that's what you're going to do. Because when you know better, you just walk in it. sometimes people are revealed things and they have concerns or they don't quickly move into it, and they let it slip, and then it's like they never heard it. Well, I've failed before too. That's why I confess what I want, and then I confess out what I don't. The things that I don't want, I confess it out of my life. And the things that I do want, I confess it inside my life. And that you had the Word of God gives you the authority, gives you the control, gives you the power to do these things. The blood of Christ made you, is the grace that made you righteous by your faith. When you believe Him, you've been washed in His blood. You're made righteous, and you don't have to worry about that. But you do have to build your life. One scripture says, "Moving away from the cross," it's talking about in the root and the foundation of things. You got a grip on that. Now, let's build your life on it, on top of it. As long as you're building on the firm foundation, you can't be destroyed. And you can destroy Satan's work at your will. And that's a good thing. I thank God for it. Now, last website broadcast, the Lord was showing how, had me teaching about the prophet, I mean the King Saul. And how he tried to betray David, how he tried to murder him, how he tried to kill him, to stop. He was not focused on what God was going, the wonderful things God was going to do in his life. He tried to kill him so that he could stay in power for the rest of his life. And he told God, "No, I'm going to do it my way." But the things that happened to Saul didn't have to happen. It's because he became stubborn. Now, he was still in a revered position. People that didn't know what was happening inside of him. All the people in the kingdom, they didn't know that Paul had become treacherous against the will of God. He still had the honor of God. He still had the honor of being king. And they saw him as a good person. When we left the last broadcast talking about how if Jesus said he was going to spit the lukewarm church out of his mouth, he didn't say that on whim. He meant it, and he's doing it for a reason. And the very things that Saul is doing, he had a reputation of being a good king that killed his thousands. In the mind of the people, he was going to heaven. He was a good person. He was a godly man. But in truth, he was treacherous. He was willing to kill another anointed man that was in fact more anointed than he was. And we see David operating under his anointing during that time, even though he didn't have the position of being a king. It hadn't fully manifested. But because of his anointing, he operated in the wisdom of a king to the point that Saul was afraid. Now, fear is a driver. When you get in fear, you're so tormented. And the way the Lord taught me that fear works, it has no foundation. But you fear something that's disastrous. And once you fear it, fear is also a belief to the negative. And when you fear something, it will drive you to make all the decisions necessary to bring about exactly, precisely what you fear. Saul was afraid of David being king and him being not king. Instead of yielding to the Lord and treasuring what God had to say and repenting and stepping down, he tried to operate in pride. And because he operated in pride, he also operated in fear. See, fear is an agent of pride, just like faith is an agent of love. If everybody who I've seen get in pride, they also get in fear. And fear has torment, the torment of hell. That's why he had no peace. And when he had an opportunity, he threw a javelin and tried to kill David because he feared him. He feared his potential. Now, people take some, many people, anointed people can love a position and the praise of man more than they love God. And I asked a question. This is exactly, precisely what Lucifer did to become Satan. What's the difference if man do the same thing? Even though it's on a lower level, what's the difference? It's the same thing. But understand, Lucifer was anointed. The Lord called him an anointed cherub that covered. He had many millions of angels under him. Now, he was not a leading angel. There were five classes of angels much greater than him and much older than he is. But he's also the father of lies, which means he was the first one that started lying. He was the first sinner. He betrayed his purpose. What's the difference when man do it? If an anointed angel can go backwards, what make you think that an anointed man can't either? There's one scripture that really used to puzzle me. Jesus said that many will come to me saying, "Lord, Lord." And he'll say, "Turn from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." And they're going to say, "We cast out demons and we preached in your name." They preach Jesus now. They preach Jesus. We preached in your name, in Jesus' name. We worked miracles in your name. We cast out demons in your name. He's going to say, "Turn from me, I never knew you." They betrayed their purpose. They got in sin. And they betrayed the heart of God's will. And they became treacherous. If the Lord spits a person out of his mouth, that's something we can relate to. Kicking somebody out of a kingdom is not something we can relate to. If you eat a bad pecan, a bitter pecan, or a bitter fruit, and it just turns your mouth bitter, you spit it out immediately. Well, that's exactly and precisely what the lukewarm church will do. They listen to lies, they preach lies, they preach bad information, and it comes to the point they operate on fear and they begin to do it on purpose. They twist the word to make it fit what they want. They're not without sin. Let me put it another way to bring it home. A husband has a wife. All right, he works hard for his family. And she becomes idle, just like a lukewarm Christian. And she starts going on the internet. And then she starts flirting on the internet. And then she starts liking it. And then it hardens her heart and her will gets weaker to it. But now she's at a point where she's actually betraying her husband. Even though she hadn't went anywhere and done anything, it's still a betrayal. And eventually she acts on it. But he doesn't know it. Now she still has the honor of being his wife. She's still anointed. Because you don't stop being anointed when you're anointed. She still has the ability to preach if she's a preacher. Or sing if she's a singer. But her secret sins are still there. And she put God in a position where something has to happen. He's not going to ignore it. Now eventually her husband's going to find out. Nobody else knows. It's a private matter. And she put him in a position he has to make a decision what he's going to do. He tried to get her to repent. She won't. She stops for a while and starts back exactly precisely like King Saul did. He told his son, "I won't kill David. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that." And then David came back. He treated him good. But then that evil spirit came on him. He started fearing him, and the process started all over again. So eventually, this marriage will end either in divorce or death. Somebody might kill somebody for the insurance money, or the husband may just have to leave. But she put him in that position. And the same thing happened with men. Men do the same thing. They betrayed their spouse. And they put them in a position that they have to make a decision, because you can't live like that. Well, that's exactly what the lukewarm church would do. They do lukewarm things. They have lukewarm beliefs. They have, their love is lost toward God. And they're interested they're interested in the enemy of God somewhere. They put themselves in a vice in the world on purpose and deliberately. And then they use scripture to justify it. When the heart get hardened enough, they use scripture to justify what they're doing. Now they put God in a position. And then their influence is deadly. Now they're teaching wrong. Children are following their path because they look good. And I told my kids many times, everything look good and sound good. But you have to love God to know His voice. And then you have to turn around and hate Satan's voice. Satan has voice, and he talks too much. So it's important to hear God out. There's no limit to how strong you can become in this life. You can harden your heart against sin, just like sinners harden their heart against God. Now, I do it all the time. I continually say that I hate particular sins. If something was a weakness to you, who put a limit on how much you can hate that particular deed or sin that could separate you from the heart of God's will and the heart of God Himself? I'm not going to be separated. I hate sin. I hate the concept of it. I hate betraying people. And the way we love God is identical to how we love man. What we will do for man is what we will do for God. When I think of there were times that I would be tempted, I said, no, I'm going to do it right because the Lord has anointed me and He's using me. And I want my whole life to be His. I don't want Satan I don't want to be contaminated with any part of Satan's influence or the worldly influence. And I want to, you know, that's why I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, teach me how to hate this particular thing like You hate it. See, and let me tell you something about the Lord. The Lord grows just like we grow. Yeah, but He know everything. He does. But as time continues, the Lord is more dedicated to His love and His wisdom and His purity, which is holiness. Holiness is supreme purity. He's holy. If we grow, He grows, because we're made in His image. Whatever we do, He does. He does it first and foremost. He does what should happen. He does what we should be doing. There's no limit to how dedicated I can be. And I had to learn principles and not give my word too fast, because I want to help people too much. And sometimes I give my word when I shouldn't. And the Lord worked with me on these kind of things. You know, He'll help you because He's been where you are. He loves you. And there's no limit to how much you can love something or how much you can hate something. You get a chance to control it by the power of the Word of God. But Saul didn't take that position. He took another position, a foreign position, a satanic position. Just like the lukewarm church. I'm not trying to sow discord, but this is a time when even anointed people can be treacherous. Yes, a Christian anointed people can become treacherous if they leave the love of God. They leave their first love. Jesus rebuked five churches for things that shouldn't be. Whether it was listening to that, to Jezebel, or being lukewarm, or leaving that first love. You know, God loves us. Two churches He didn't rebuke. He commended. And He commended every church for what they had. And then He showed them what He had a problem with. Now, this will happen in the course of our lives. It's normal. But once God revealed it to you, you receive His word and you adapt and change and you go forward. You don't have to be wrong. A friend of mine, Greg Hoser, said, if you're wrong, repent, and you don't have to be wrong anymore. Now, and then you can fortify your heart to hate certain sins that's been a weakness to you. And it can become your strong point, to the point that people won't even be able to imagine you doing whatever it was, or taking a position that you used to. God loves you, and He can help us do these things. Now, in chapter 21, 1 Samuel chapter 21, it says, then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king has commanded me a business, and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves, at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put in the to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the service of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg. An Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand a spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor any weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou would take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. For there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. Now David's got Goliath's sword. He's fleeing Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. Verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and were afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down from his beard. Now all these things David did, he did it to survive. Yeah, David was surviving. So when David did this, he's in the presence of the men that were, I think they were Philistines, and he had Goliath's swords. So he was trying to survived. Verse 14. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him unto me? Have I need of a madman that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed from thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discomfited, discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there was with him about 400 men. And David went hence to Mizpah of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hole. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hole, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. And David departed and came into the forest of Horeth. And Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him. Now Saul abode in Gibeah under the tree of Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, all ye with the son of Jesse, give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you that is sorry for me, and showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob. And they came, all of them, to the king. I hope I'm pronouncing these words correctly. Then Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, that thou and the son of Jesse, and that thou hast givest him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? In your study time, study chapter 1 Samuel chapter 22. It's very important. We see the handiwork of Saul and how he really betrayed the Lord, even to the point of killing the priest. We're going to cover this in another broadcast.